This is Over the Garden Gate, a program brought to you by the University of California Cooperative Extension Master Gardener Program of Tuolumne County. The mission of the UCCE Master Gardeners is to provide research-based gardening information to the public. If you would like to contact our Master Gardener Program, please call our hotline, which is area code 209-533-5912. The hotline is not manned full-time, but we do pick up our messages and we will get back to you within the week.
My name is Earl Heinlein. I'm in my first year after graduating from the Master Gardener Program, and I have the opportunity today to talk with Claudia Beamer.
Beamer.
So, Claudia, this is my first, you know, that as you're also a Master Gardener.
Yes, I believe. Am.
So, how did you become involved in the program?
Well, I retired in 2011. I retired from teaching. I taught elementary school during my teaching years, and I signed up for the Master Gardener training that first year. So it would have been in 2012, probably, that I met Barbara Lashbrook, who was the coordinator of the Michelson School Garden here in Murphy's.
And you shared with me that she's actually the founder of the school program.
Yes, she is.
Right.
She was the founder. And she just got me excited about it, and I got deeply involved. And after a few years, she started handing over some of the planning to me. And then then she retired. Much deserved retirement from the school garden. And I took over the planning and the coordination.
Right, because I know that one of the things you do is coordinate the volunteers.
Yes.
So that's how I got my initial involvement. Mm-hmm. So I've only had a taste of it yet, but I'm looking forward to a big year. As the founder, I was told that the program actually started in 1998. So that's when Barbara created the program?
I think she said 1997.
Oh, 97, okay.
97. And she approached the school about having... She was a master gardener at the time.
Ah.
She approached the school about having some kind of garden. And they said yes. And she got it going. Initially, it was probably a pretty simple program.
Yes.
And could be managed by one person.
Right.
Namely, Barbara. But it grew and became more structured as time went on, and now it really takes about 8 people to run the program each time that we're there.
You shared with me that it literally was just a small plot on the asphalt, you know, and I've yet to see, because of the COVID restrictions, I've yet to see the program. So could you tell me about the Michelson program itself? I think you said there's like 3 main elements.
Okay, yes. Well, there are 3 physical elements.
Okay.
And we have the garden itself, which is raised beds, mm-hmm. where we grow vegetables and flowers, strawberries, blueberries.
As it is now.
Uh-huh.
How large is it?
It's about the size of a large garage.
Oh, okay.
And it's fenced off. Can be very attractive. Right now it's not very attractive, but it can be very attractive.
Yes.
Then we have an area out in front of the school that is the native plant garden, and it's shrubs that that grow in the area, so we can acquaint kids with those. And then there is an area on the playground that has native trees.
Excellent.
So those are the 3 physical parts.
Right.
So, but we also have safe usage of tools as part of our program.
Excellent.
Composting, growing, of course, growing your own food.
Now, how are those introduced to the students? I mean, so that has to be sort of inserted into the curriculum.
Right.
They have their regular educational. So how does that get into the curriculum?
Okay, well, that brings up one of the really important things about support from the teachers.
Ah.
So the school has been, over the years, so supportive of the whole idea. And often we have 2 teachers we're working with, and they meet with us before we start, usually a couple months.
You're laying out the plan, I guess?
We lay out the plan. Okay. We talk about what they're working on and what they would like to see from the gardening program, because we do want to kind of connect with their science.
Sure.
Their science standards.
And these are 3rd and 4th graders?
Third graders.
Okay.
We sometimes, if there's a combination class, we include the other half of the combination. But that varies.
Okay.
That does vary. But our focus is 3rd grade. The program has has worked with all different grades. It started out with sixth grade. Uh-huh. And we found that third graders are just the most excited and receptive. Yeah. And inquisitive, yes. Yeah. And they get so much out of it that that has been our focus for quite some time.
Excellent, excellent. So I recall that the short volunteer opportunities I had, the 3 weeks, that it was about sampling different, identifying different plants, mm-hmm. growing the so-called portable terrarium. Yeah. I just thought that was an absolute gas, and I've told people about it many times.
Oh, good.
Would you share some of those little individual program elements that are in the educational portion?
Okay. Well, we do like to teach them about seeds. Uh-huh. Seeds are a miracle.
Yeah.
In that little packet is everything a plant needs to know to grow. They are just amazing. And you take it from a little piece that looks maybe kind of like a rock, and you get a plant, and maybe you get vegetable or fruit. So we do teach them about seeds. They dissect a lima bean to find the little leaf and the little root inside.
Okay, I didn't know that.
They start that when we're in the classroom, we can do that.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, they do that in their take-home kit, too. We examine seeds. We read seed packets. We plant seeds. We do a lot with seeds, so that's really important. We do one lesson. That's
so about pruning cuttings and things of that nature. Okay.
So John Randall, who's a longtime volunteer, he does that, and it is awesome. Right. He brings in cuttings from a lot of different plants, and but he also talks about seeds, and he does a role play with the teacher, where he's a kid. And he wants to start
like
a garden,
yeah.
but he doesn't have any money. And how they could start a garden by propagating plants from cuttings and from seeds. Yeah. And they don't have to have money to have a garden. So our kits that we are sending home now because of COVID have some similarities to our program as a whole. But we can't do the same thing. So we're just trying to substitute something that contains those concepts. So what, we're talking seeds, we're talking plant propagation, native plants.
Yeah.
So for the native trees, we sent home clippings from a variety of native trees
and with an
identification chart.
Right.
And hoping that they can handle it, they can smell it, they can take them apart, and they'll be able to start to identify trees, because really it's the leaves that are the most helpful things when you're trying to figure out what a tree is.
That was one of the segments that I did have volunteer experience with, and we have, and for our listeners, we're talking about a paper bag, and we had these piles of different shrub and tree leaves and so forth, and then we had to put them in the bag with the chart, if you would, so that they could look at it, identify it, understand what it is. But it's a very simple thing, but a big block of knowledge.
Yeah, and it's a big thing to organize, because we had bags for like 50 kids.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was, but it's a way for them to get really some hands-on involvement. Kids like to sniff things and handle things, and I hope that worked. So we did that. We also did cooking herbs, similar process.
Okay.
Where we had.
So you had rosemary and sage and that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah. So we had little cuttings, little samples of each of those, and another chart so they could identify them. I'm sure they had fun with the chocolate mint.
And thyme has a number of species that have different, if you would, flavor elements for lemon thyme, etc.
So, oregano. Yeah. Maybe we hope that reminds them of pizza.
Yeah.
That was a good one. And one of them was a transplanting activity, and the teachers used this for the Mother's Day gift. So they had a seedling.
Right.
They transplanted it into a pot with soil, which we provided. We provided the pot and the soil and the seedling.
And how was that funded? Again, you mentioned that how Barbara had to go out and essentially solicit support and funding. And so how does that get funded?
Well, it doesn't.
Oh, okay. So that's kind of a surprise question for you. That was not one that we discussed.
No. Well, see, I'm a retired teacher. Yeah. I spent my own money in my classroom to do what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And
that's not uncommon for teachers
in
today's
world. Very common. Yeah. So I don't really want to bother with pestering people for money.
Uh-huh.
So if it cost me a couple $100 to make those kits happen, it's worth it. And I'm not the only one.
I feel the same way.
And the other gardeners have invested their own money in the irrigation system, or when things need to be fixed, or bringing in bark to put on the ground.
Exactly.
And so we could, if somebody was motivated to talk to service clubs, which have helped in the past, we could ask for help. But mostly, we're just going to just do it.
And when you say we, I'm hearing we, the Master Gardeners of Calaveras County, Tuolumne as well. Do they have a program comparable in Tuolumne?
I think most of the schools in our three county area have some kind of garden. But I don't know about funding. I don't know what they do. They might have different ways of supporting. I don't know how they do that.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody has one quite like ours.
Okay.
It's sort of unique in that we are kind of a hit and run. You know, we come in for 5 weeks and then we go. And
what happens to the vegetable garden throughout the rest of the year then when we're not doing the sort of the active student component?
Yes, that's a really good question. So in normal times.
Yeah, yes.
In normal times, we do have in the spring have kids plant tomatoes and corn and squash. We do the Three Sisters corn, squash, and beans. They plant tomatoes and peppers, but they don't see the results until the next fall, if that. But the folks who work during the summer at the school really appreciate those. So you know we leave it going. We water, we weed, we keep it in
shape. So the Master Gardeners are still working in the garden?
We are, yeah.
Okay.
Some years, we've had two classes, we've done a program in the fall, 5 weeks in the fall and 5 weeks in the spring, one class each time.
Right.
But the teachers have really not felt their kids were ready in the fall to have that little bit more of independence outside. You know, they still wanted to get them trained a little bit better before they unleash them in the garden. So that's fine. So we have done that. So I'm not quite sure what will happen this year. I just know that I'm not ready, and I don't think they're ready for a fall program. We'll see what happens in the spring. We can do it two classes. We could do two different days, probably Tuesday, Thursday.
Yeah. And weather could be a varying factor in the fall as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yes, it can be a factor in the spring also.
Well, that's certainly true. And we actually, I think we wish that there would be more of a factor, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. So actually, we do have to be prepared often to move indoors. If we can't do whatever we're going to do outside, then we move indoors.
Uh-huh.
And usually it's in the cafeteria. We set something up to cover whatever it is we wanted kids to do. It's not the same. It's better to be out in the garden.
Being an old previous facilities guy, one of the questions I had posed to you was there sort of a mini farm-to-table kind of a program? And you said to me that there is some of that opportunity.
Yeah. So we are able to plant lettuce. Baby lettuce works really well, and radishes.
Grows fast.
They grow fast, right. and we usually have something in 5 weeks. The weather can mess that up, but usually we have something in 5 weeks. And our last session, the kids bring their scissors and they cut the lettuce. The cafeteria manager shows up with a big stainless steel bowl and collects all the lettuce and radishes and uses them in salad that week. Wow. So it's really very satisfying for everybody.
Are carrots on the menu? I've grown some carrots before. They grow quite easily. And
they're too slow.
Oh, they take too long.
Take too long.
All right. Well, I'm learning.
We could grow carrots, but they do. And they are a winter vegetable.
Yes.
So we could plant them if we had a fall program, but we haven't done that.
How about perennial type vegetables like fennel or something of that nature?
Well, we do have a section that is the herb garden.
Ah, okay.
So I can't remember if fennel's in there or not.
It can grow quite large. I've learned. I planted it.
But that would be fun to have in there when we get back in there. We had blueberries and strawberries. There is an apricot, still pretty young. Apricot tree. I may have had one or two apricots.
Oh, no kidding.
So we have that. So a few things like that.
So do you see opportunities for further growth of the program? Maybe that they can mature even better. And you mentioned possibly maybe a fall segment. If you could grow the program, what would you do?
Oh, it is really full because we have so many wonderful things to give to kids.
Yeah.
I think that maybe just to add one, so we have an hour and a half, one day a week for 5 weeks. I like to have another day.
Okay.
And it kind of depends on the classroom being, are they ready for that?
How about some war stories? The expression I use is war stories. I don't want real war, but some little, what do they call those? Anecdotal kind of experience.
Anecdotal, yeah.
I heard something about one of the students who ultimately came back as a principal and was able to touch the program both as a student and as a principal.
Well,
is that real? Or is that...
Well, the current principal.
Oh, okay. I met him. Nice young man.
He went to school at Michelson.
Okay.
So I would assume that he has gone through the garden program.
Has the program gotten any community exposure other than through the actual master gardeners? Do you know of it in any way?
No.
Because it certainly sounds like a program that this community, I mean, Murphy's is a pretty unique town, you know, as are all of our little cities around us, right? And they have old histories. And so this is one of these ones that I think connects with the with the community.
Well, when you think that every third grader that goes through Michelson School takes part in our garden program, I think that's probably, I mean, in itself is pretty impactful.
Yes.
And that, you know, if kids come out of it knowing the native trees that grow all around us and having some appreciation for gardening, that maybe that does have some impact on the community. But I don't know that the community really sees that.
Oh, well. What question should I have asked that I didn't ask? I like to pose that question. What did I not think of that you would like to share with us about the program?
Okay. COVID to me is so harmful to our program.
Yes.
Is that we master gardeners are not working side by side with the kids in the garden. That connection between 8 or 9 year old and mature master gardener, this supportive person who works side by side is so important. There's talking and listening that goes back and forth. I mean, and really, as master gardeners, listening is a big part of it. Speaking of a friend who has things to say about her chickens, but but there's so much conversation that goes on back and forth as kids are working outside with their gardener. And we do have small groups. There'll be a master gardener with 2 or maybe 3 kids. So there's lots of opportunity to talk while they're digging, while they're turning compost, while they're planting seeds. And I think that's just a gift to both the students who have this chance to get acquainted with an older person, and for us master gardeners, because it kind of keeps us young.
Nothing wrong with that. May I share with you, those principles actually carry all the way through life. In the professional career, believe me, having a good quality mentor, and I think those are the kinds of relationships you're describing, is very, very important.
Yeah.
I know that for what I consider to be my modest success in the facilities world, key mentorship from seasoned people was what it was about.
Yeah.
The ability to be able to kick around, and it's interesting, to kick the dirt.
Literally.
to dig into the dirt. I mean, I think it is fascinating. It's... hopefully you can hear the excitement that I have, too, about this program. I'm really looking forward to it. Something awfully special about going to your own garden, cutting a tomato, bringing it in, and it's on your salad that night. By the way, with the zucchini that you also harvested in the morning. I have that excitement myself, really, Claudia. I have sent photographs. My wife happens to be back east right now. I'm sending her photographs daily of the maturity of the tomatoes and the daily harvest, because I also have some grapevines. Not for wine, but just for
grapes. Grapes are good.
They're wonderful, you know. So it is great.
And
I'm personally looking forward to working further with you.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah,
good.
Yeah.
Do you have any questions you would have of me?
Let's see. Well, I sure hope that we get to garden with kids together this spring.
Yeah.
I'm hopeful. That would be great. Well,
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to tell, right? I mean, this conversation is not so much about COVID, but COVID has, as you pointed out, has had such an impact, and the mutations that are going on. Who knows what the future lies? But somehow, some way, we have to find a way to work safely. And I think, even though it does require some separation, hopefully we'll be able to bridge that gap somehow, some way, to keep the experience as rich as possible.
And it is a very rich experience for kids. Yeah. So
great.
It's pretty exciting.
Okay.
Okay. So my job is the coordinator.
Oh yes, I
see. And so as coordinator, I've got the big plan. I've got here's my plan for 2020, which did not happen.
Ah.
So I have a plan.
Yeah, well, we know what happened in 2020.
For what we're going to do, and then the rest of the team makes it happen. It's so awesome.
So how many of the Master Gardeners are involved? I'm the rookie. I just got here.
I think there probably are 9 of us at this point, maybe 10.
Okay.
So we have a pair of people, Tom Fernandes and Nancy Shaw, who are in charge of maintaining the garden itself, the physical part of the garden.
Okay.
And
I'm hoping to supplement Tom in some way, because I live around the corner.
Yeah, good, good. They also keep bees. So
really?
So when they be a couple of years ago, we said, well, wait a minute. We should add bees to our activities, our lessons that we're doing with kids. So they do a bee lesson, and Nancy wears the protective outfit, and it's great.
Each spring I order mason bees.
Uh-huh.
And I have this little box where it's a little mini house, if you would.
Yeah.
And it's kind of interesting. They're tiny, very, very tiny bees.
Oh. Well, they have honeybees, so we get to talk about that. Then, let's see. Dick Seaman does our watering system.
Okay.
And he has worked hard on that for a long time. John Randall does his lessons.
I met Dick. He was the first one I met.
Uh-huh. Right. And Paul Harpainter is the guy who will come and fix stuff for us, or we need some muscle. He's the one that shows up.
Yeah.
Nancy Shaw, she finds stuff like plants.
Right.
She brings stuff in so that she'll show up with a wild rose, which we then plant. And so she's really good about that.
And she harvests from other Master Gardener yards within the community, and she
within the community, and also that the demonstration garden in San Andreas, they've been very helpful, in giving us plants and seedlings and seeds over the years, so that we didn't have to buy them.
Yeah. They have an online program right now. I haven't taken advantage of it. Mm-hmm. I shared with Debbie Powell, as you know, sort of the overall county coordinator. I mean, I don't know exactly her title, but she's been my main key contact. But I sent her a photograph of, I just built a succulent garden, an interesting experience. And on the day, I know that the demonstration garden also has an area. It has different areas, succulents being one of them. I'm also looking to doing some volunteering work over there at the demonstration garden. But the day of the general meeting, there was also a plant sale. So you can buy plants there very economically compared to running to the local nursery and that sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And things you can't get even at a local nursery. So I want to add this couple of things here.
Good.
So one of the questions you ask is, what are the benefits for students?
Students, community, and the Master Gardeners themselves. But talk about the value you think it brings.
I talked about it a little bit, but there's so many. Making that connection with an older person in a supportive environment.
Right.
Realizing where food comes from. Not just the grocery store.
Yeah.
That it has to be grown somewhere before they can eat it. Developing that sense of responsibility in taking care of living things. Now, it's true, it's radish.
Right. No, that's okay. I'm not a big fan of radishes, but I understand it, that they're a food component.
That ownership.
Yeah.
And I think that through that, they can see that they themselves have an ability to make the world a better place in these small ways.
Wow.
You plant a flower, you plant a tree, you make the world a better place.
Little steps make big steps, right?
Yeah.
An interesting observation there too that I noticed in my own career going over. the thing about touching landscaping and gardening, you see the results of your efforts. Mm-hmm. You really do, you know? Much less being able to have a tomato put on the table or put it in the salad that you actually grew yourself.
That's pretty exciting, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. I hope that they learn to notice what's in their community, mm-hmm. because we talk about the native trees that grow here. You know, if they look around and say, oh, that is an oak tree and that is a ponderosa pine, for them to start to notice.
To differentiate the different things.
And excellent. Then maybe they'll notice other things about their community and appreciate them.
I remember that one of the times when we were sitting here when we were doing the leaf cutting type thing, mm-hmm. we got into a dialogue about, is this a blue oak? Is this a pin oak? Is this a live oak? And I had to go look it up because I didn't know. And I think around our table, no one knew for sure.
Yeah.
You know, and it turned out to be a coastal oak.
Yeah. We hope that maybe this is a beginning of a lifelong interest in science.
Yeah.
For them.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
For the school, you know, they get to enrich their science program with this hands-on activity that's really rich. It gives all students a chance to shine. You don't have to be a great reader.
Right.
To be able to plant stuff, to measure how deep you're planting the seeds, to record the temperature. You don't have to be a great reader to do all that stuff.
No, excellent.
You can do that. Everybody can do that.
Certainly an element I never thought about.
Yeah.
That is definitely.
You do see that.
Yeah.
The other benefit to the school is you get these master gardeners on the school grounds, and we really appreciate what goes on at school. And that's a small group of people who are going to be supportive of the school when it comes to maybe fundraisers or bond issues or other things like that, that they have a vested interest in this school and appreciation that they wouldn't have otherwise.
Interesting perspective. I like that.
To the community, the benefits are like, I mean, you have all these kids who have been through that program and have an appreciation for growing things. For the master gardeners, I could speak to that personally, of course. Boy, that it's so delightful to see the excitement of the kids when they get out there and garden and look at the plants and the bugs. Bugs are great.
I love bugs. I love bugs. You know, one of the things I've shared with people, especially of late, is that if more of the world would look through the eyes of children, we'd have a much better world. I mean, I really believe that. The perspective that children have and the world around them is so wonderful. It's wonderful.
It is. It's great.
Yeah.
So, that's really, really cool. And it does, it renews our, for us, Master Gardeners, it renews our sense of amazement.
Mm.
I mean, photosynthesis, isn't that the most awesome thing in the world?
Yeah.
How did that develop?
Yeah. And we need the oxygen.
Yeah.
We expel carbon dioxide. Now, we don't want too much in the air. We're going through that awareness. But nonetheless, there is that balance that goes on.
Yeah.
And then you get these plants that go, give me that. Give me that sunlight. I'm going to give you some oxygen.
And the fact that plants can take sunlight and turn it into food.
Yeah.
That's really amazing. And then, of course, the whole seed thing. A seed is just the most incredible thing, but it's easy to forget. You know, I got a seed package, put the seeds in.
Yeah.
But these kids remind us that these things are pretty exciting.
Wow.
And we like that cross-generation.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Contact. That's what keeps us young.
Yes, it does. It does. So it's a very, very exciting, satisfying experience to hang out in the garden with kids.
Yeah, wonderful. The vision is great. I want to go home and get in the garden. And I actually am. I am truly going to be doing that. So
better get out there before it gets too hot.
Yeah. There's no question. I'm using noon as my cutoff time right now.
Okay.
You know. But as you well know, they're part of the bioactivity of plants. Some of them require that heat. Mm-hmm. Some of them require the cold, right, for some seeds to set, that sort of thing. Mother Nature is a pretty wonderful lady.
Yeah,
she is a pretty wonderful lady. Well, Claudia, I really don't know how to thank you much more than to say really thanks, big thanks.
It's been fun to talk about.
Right.
Talk. That's one of the pleasures of being a master gardener. You get to talk gardening with people who actually care.
Yeah. But and I can see and feel the excitement. I know what I have and what I feel, and I can see it and feel it just being around you. It's just a great experience. It really is. And I, my words are very sincere in that regard. And it's a great program. I think more people should hear about it. And so thanks for your time.